Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now. A show for veterans by veterans.
Thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. Transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today. But first, I want to thank some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible. Right, Tom?
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, which is the official sponsor of Tom's Tirades, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Homes and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And speaking of sponsors, Tom, I know when we were on the air last week, we had Nick DiMario from Ed's was on the line, and he told us that they were going to be adding some things to the menu, and I had the privilege of being able to stop off and enjoyed that Causeway Hot catfish.
Oh, no kidding!
That he talked about.
Awesome.
I don't know how they do it, but it's a great taste. Got a little bit of a kick to it, but the fish is cooked perfectly, but that spice and seasoning is just fantastic.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, you know, they just had a big day Saturday breakfast and Sunday breakfast for Toys for Tots at Ed's Seafood Shed on the Causeway, and they're still taking toys, I think, for drop-offs over there, but that turned out to be a real big deal. And had old Santa Claus over there. He wouldn't let me sit on his knee, but he said if I would behave myself, he would try to pass my house and not leave any bills.
I got some pictures from that event, and I was out of town, couldn't attend the event, but I did drop off some stuff for Toys for Tots, so I hope they had a great response from the local community with filling up those boxes.
Yeah, it was they had a good response, and they had a drop-off point as well over to Sunset Point Restaurant over at Fly Creek.
Great. Well, I know that Pete and Nick do a great job of giving back to the community, and that's a great way to do it with the Santa breakfast over the last weekend to be able to take care of those that might not have a Christmas with the Marine Corps Reserve and their Toys for Tots program. So congratulations to them. But we've got a lot of topics to cover over the course of the next hour. Later on SBN, with all the furor over the impeachment farce, some of our lawmakers have actually been working hard to craft a defense budget, which was passed today we'll dive into it and let you know what you can expect in the new year. It may also impact the so-called widow's tax and Marine Corps boot camp. We'll give you the details there. Also, the war on religious freedom is back and going strong over a blow-up Santa doll. We'll talk about it. Yeah. You can't make this stuff up, Tom. The commandant of the Corps responds to a somewhat damning study on the Marine Corps culture.
Watch your mouth, we'll though. Watch your mouth. We'll talk about the culture.
And the homeless shelter is proving that homeless veterans are worthy of the struggles that they go through and coming out on the other end to give back to the community. Also, Tom's tirade on the blood of traitors, a good one you don't want to miss. But first, it may have gotten lost in the shuffle of the impeachment circus, but three of our nation's airmen were murdered by an Islamic terrorist at the Pensacola Naval Air Station on December 6th, not even a week ago. Tom, it kind of got glossed over. It was one of those active shooters, and of course everybody's trying to cover it, but it's kind of been swept under the rug since then. But there were three of our airmen who were killed, and they were aviation trainees there at Naval Air Station Pensacola, and they were all in the same classroom building when a Saudi trainee opened fire. And there are a number of stories about the heroism that these airmen demonstrated. It's Ensign Joshua K. Watson, Airman Muhammad S. Hytham, and I think he was from Florida, and Airman Apprentice Cameron S. Walters. Those three have been approved for a posthumous award of the Wings of Gold. Acting Secretary of the Navy Thomas Moldy said that they would all be basically awarded those as if they had completed their training. And Tom, one of the things that I find most disturbing, I don't know how much you have followed this story, but apparently this Saudi trainee, in the days before the shooting, apparently was showing videos of mass shootings in his room, and apparently he and some of the other Saudi trainees that were there were living it up while they were watching these videos as everything was going on. Mm-hmm. And apparently while he was doing the shooting, the others were, I think one was filming, I think another was waiting with a getaway car, of all things.
You get to be kidding.
In the aftermath.
And it was a total planned thing, and it was more than one person, the shooter. There was more than just the shooter involved.
That is the story as it is coming out. Now, in the aftermath of it, Tom, there were stories that there were a handful of these Saudi trainees that were unaccounted for. Now, there hasn't been a lot of follow-up on that story, Tom, but apparently over the last couple of days, they have grounded all of these Saudi trainees that are in the U.S. It's disturbing, Tom, because here we are, the Saudis are our allies. Right. If you recall, the majority of the 9/11 terrorists were
Saudis.
In Saudi Arabia.
Right.
So obviously they had been radicalized. Now you have these folks who are in the Saudi military over here training with aviation, and goes through something like this. One of the big questions, Tom, was how was he actually able to purchase the gun? Because generally foreigners are not allowed to buy guns in the United States. But yeah, there was a story, and it's disturbing, that apparently if this guy went out and got a hunting license in the state of Florida where he was, then he could turn around, and I don't know why getting the hunting license changes things, but because the hunting license doesn't require a background check, but with that hunting license, a foreigner can then purchase a firearm.
I think that's a loophole that needs to be closed.
Well, I think, you know, they loophole, but, you know, they're saying, well, you know, you have people that come over here and they want to go hunting. So if they get a hunting license, then obviously they have to have a weapon to go hunting. So I'm kind of with you, Tom. It is a little bit disturbing when you look at the story. I'm hoping that we will be able to find out a lot more as they investigate this. But anyway, on the other side of the break, we will dig into the proposed or the now passed defense budget. But on the way out, we have some Christmas music with the Marine Corps band. So enjoy that, and we'll catch you on the other side with the Scuttlebutt.
And Cal Walters, radio for veterans by veterans. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone and check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired programs are up on most of the podcasting sites. Just search SBN or Scuttlebutt. And if you like to listen to Tom's tirade on demand, those are up at castbox.com. You know, and Tom, during the break, we talked a little bit about some of the issues concerning the fact that military bases are basically gun-free zones. Now, you wouldn't think a military base would be a gun-free zone because you have military on there and they use guns.
Right.
But yeah. In so many instances, the MPs and of course the soldiers and sailors and airmen and Marines that are on the bases, they're not able to carry personal firearms.
Right.
And of course, obviously the shooter down in Pensacola, there was not anything stopping him obviously from doing what he did. Now, these were airmen. They were in classrooms. Chances are they probably would not have had weapons firearms or sidearms.
Right. They had no weapons, Cal. But at the same time, those guys, those students knew that they were on a gun-free zone, and they knew that they were going to be able to get their damage done before anybody could get to them.
Oh, well, absolutely, and according to the reports that are out, in addition to the three airmen that were killed, there were eight other personnel that were wounded.
Right.
The gunman was killed by a law enforcement officer, Tom.
Hell, he's the only one had a damn gun, Cal.
Well,
they had to call him in.
It was the Escambia County that brought folks in.
Yeah, right. You know, deputy sheriff.
With weapons. Well, and as you and I have talked about, this is not the first time we've seen something like this. Tom, if you want to go back to the Fort Hood shooting.
Right.
And we talked about the exact same thing.
Same damn thing, yes.
Because here you are, you know, you had another Islamic terrorist.
Right.
Who probably should have been in the brig versus mm-hmm. where he was, but everybody mm-hmm. was hands off because he was a Muslim. But it was the same situation there. I mean, you had outside law enforcement that came in and had to handle that situation. You mentioned the shooting at the recruiting station. I believe it was in Nashville or Chattanooga, one of the two. And you know, there were no weapons again allowed in those scenarios. And you know, as you and I have talked about, a gun-free zone is simply an invitation for a criminal who's not going to follow the law to come in and know that they can do a lot of damage before anybody is going to be able to do anything.
Right. Well, at least the guys that are on base are all qualified. I would say 95% of them are qualified marksmen, and they know how to use their weapons. They know when to use their weapons, and they know, you know, when to pull their weapons. Because that's the way we're all trained, you know. If they're a Marine, every damn body's qualified with a weapon. So, but a lot of the services aren't. But I mean, you know, if we're qualified, we're marksmen. Why the hell can't we carry a gun on base? You know.
Well, I think you probably have to go back and examine some of the rhetoric at the time it was done. And I believe that those regulations were imposed during the Clinton administration. And of course, you know, we now know that the Clintons were no fans of the military.
Cal, let me bring this up. Didn't we talk about the fact that even in Iraq and Afghanistan is when our troops had weapons shouldered and on their hips, and they were going into meetings with the like Afghanistan army that they're training, and they made them leave their weapons outside. Then all of our troops had to stack their weapons outside. So then, I mean, they all went inside without weapons. Now, I mean, but there's no metal detectors or anything to stop somebody from sneaking one in.
Well, and of course, Tom, we have seen what happened when we had service members that were killed by these folks that they're supposed to be training and working with.
Right.
You know, I think the problem that we encounter, and I think what leaves us sort of scratching our head, is obviously, again, the bad guys don't have a problem with getting that weapon and getting it into a position so that they can do damage.
Right, right.
Yet, our troops are handcuffed and neutered and said, no, you can't take your, you know, you can't take your weapons with you. And because you might have, and a lot of it was politics, Tom. You know, we didn't want to offend these supposed allies that were
policy and PC, you know, being politically correct and worried about what the other people think. I mean, the other damn people don't have a country that's like, you know, like America. The other people don't have a country that they have to worry about, because hell, they don't, you know, they done lost it.
Well, and you know, one of the questions that was raised when all of that was occurring was, you know, how are we going to allow these supposed allies of ours to be armed while they're on the base, you know, and in these training and in the meetings? But you know, I mean, at some point, Tom, you've got to step outside the confines of the base. If you're training with these people, and you've got to you know, to wonder if, you know, the person who's walking the patrol with you that you're supposed to be quote unquote training,
right?
You know, if they're gonna end up using a weapon that we have given them,
right?
Against us,
It's
so, you know, it's bad enough that it happens over there. It's even worse when it happens over here, and I think somehow, some way, we've got to change how we allow these allies to bring their men and women over here to train with us, because obviously there was more than just this one Saudi national that was involved. And especially when the question has apparently gone to the point where they've grounded all of these trainees from Saudi Arabia that are over here, Tom. Right. Somebody's got to be wondering exactly what's going on.
Yes. They really need to dig into it, Cal.
Well, as I said, I hope that this is not a story that because it's not necessarily politically correct, that they're just going to sweep under the rug and we won't find out exactly what happened and why these supposed allies were allowed to come over here. You know, at some point, somebody has to do a background check, even if they're coming from, a supposed friendly military. Because if this is what we're dealing with, it might just be better. Maybe we go train them over there.
There you go.
Maybe
I'll
we
second
do something
that
a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because to have them on our bases and to be able to do this within our country, it's just unacceptable.
I'm not on that page.
We deserve our troops. Deserve better, I guess, is the best way think about
yes.
it. But anyway, we're coming up again. You're listening to some Christmas music courtesy of the Marine Corps Band. On the other side of the break, we'll try to jump into that defense budget and a couple of other stories related to it. All of that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. To get on the line, call 343-0106 now.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program. A voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans. Today, our numbers, 343-0106 or 866-983-2777, to join in the discussion. You can check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN.
And we certainly want to thank the fine folks that continue to help make this show possible, the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimberly, and all the fine folks over at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Service, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And before we jump back into the stories, we've got Johnny on the line who wants to talk with us. Johnny, welcome to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hi, guys. Hope you're having a good night.
I'm not.
Basically, two very brief questions that really don't require an answer, but number one, these guys come over here like this looking to do something bad, and they look for loopholes. In this case, this guy bought what they're calling a legal gun with a legal purchase using a dadgum hunting license as ID. He had no other ID that identified him as a U.S. citizen or a resident in this area other than a locally bought hunting license. And they allowed him to use that to buy a weapon. And that's a loophole that should be closed right away.
Right, right.
Number two, when is the last time you ever been on a base, military of any kind, and not seen military police or SP or whatever driving around with weapons?
Right.
And in this case, they had to call in local law enforcement to stop this guy?
Johnny, that sucks as far as I'm concerned.
That should be a slap in the face of every military man that's ever walked the earth.
It is.
And the last thing, let's suppose that we didn't catch this guy. Let's suppose he went big and instead of buying a pistol, the next time he goes up into an aircraft, he decides to crash an aircraft into a government building somewhere.
There you go. You got it head on, Johnny.
It's insanity to bring these people in that hate us to start with and train them to fly jet aircraft over our airspace.
Right, right. Are we crazy or what?
I don't, you know, I'm retired Army, been around for a long time. And even little excursions, like when we went into Panama to get Noriega, the biggest problem we had weeding those people out of there was the forces that were trained at Fort Benning, Georgia, that knew our tactics and knew how to fight us.
Right.
We're training our own enemy, and I don't understand it.
Yeah, and, you know, and then they turn around and fight us with our knowledge and our own weapons that we've, yeah, you know, give them, and our own ammunition.
Over there in the desert now, you know, we did what we did. We evacuated and got out of there and left all this equipment in there, and then we went back in when things went bad again because it wasn't fully secured the first time, and you could debate that back and forth. But when we went back in, we're now fighting our own vehicles, our own tanks, our
right,
own weapons.
Right, our own rockets.
Our own rockets.
Yes.
U.S.-made equipment killing U.S. soldiers.
Yep. All right, appreciate it, Johnny.
Well,
all right, guys.
Thanks for calling in, Johnny. Some great information there. One story, it's not in the stack, but it's out there. With the way things have gone in Turkey, the country, not the bird, but with the way things have gone in Turkey, apparently we are no longer going to sell our F-35s to them. So apparently there was a large block of F-35s that were supposed to go to Turkey, Tom. Now that they're not going to go to Turkey, Congress is trying to arrange some sort of payment plan so that the Pentagon can purchase them.
What?
Yeah, I guess if they haven't allocated the resources for our military to have them,
right,
and but they don't want Turkey to have them, so I guess it's like, you know, it's a fire sale, and the Pentagon might be able to pick them up cheap.
Yeah, we've got to buy our own weapons, but undoubtedly, then the manufacturer, was it Northrop Grumman, built these specifically for Turkey, expected to derive the revenue from there. But now that they're not getting that, we're going to have to buy them to keep them from selling them to somebody else.
I guess, Tom, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You would think that the Pentagon kind of had, if it's some military hardware that's not going somewhere, they, you know, instead of parking them, you know, in the desert, they probably would say, hey, you know, you guys want to use them.
I really have a problem with selling all of that intricate fire weapons. I mean, for the, you know, gazillion million dollars that it costs for each one of those planes. Yeah, and then we, you know, and like Saudi Arabia, we sell them over there. Then they turn around and sell one of them to China or you know, Vietnam or anybody, or North Korea. And then, you know, then they've got all of our – how the hell do you think China got where they're at? You know, they bought all of our stuff from other countries. You know, come on.
Well, I think we can go back to our friends, the Clintons, and the whole China deal, because it looked like they opened up the Chinese market to our aircraft,
right,
and our guidance systems for missiles and all that kind of stuff.
Great people.
And I'm, yeah, I'm pretty sure that somebody got paid, the Clinton Foundation, you know, somebody got paid a few million dollars for a speech
No, not billions.
So that stuff could happen.
With a B, Cal, with a B.
Oh,
not an M.
Yeah. But none of that really matters. You know, there's nothing to see here. But
no, there's nothing there.
Anyway,
what do you think Biden learned
from? Just real quick. the defense bill, the $738 billion defense budget was passed earlier today, and they were trying to get it in ahead of the deadline, which is December 21st, for if they don't come up with some budget numbers that the government will shut down just in time for Christmas, of course. But a few of the highlights in it, the 3.1% pay raise for our military will stay. There is $5.3 billion earmarked for emergency disaster recovery, and probably, well, there are a couple of big ones. There also, it authorizes the creation of the U.S. Space Force. I just, you know, it's kind of hard, Tom. I know we need to focus on what's going on above us, but I just keep envisioning the James Bond movie Moonraker, you know, where they had basically had a space force, and you had all of them up there, you know, shooting lasers at one another. It looked kind of silly overall. One of the things that's interesting in it, it doesn't do away with the FARA's doctrine, which prohibits U.S. troops from suing the government due to injury. But it does include a provision that authorizes the Secretary of Defense to settle and pay claims to amend death for the death or injury of troops due to DOD medical malpractice. That's a, you know, a couple of stories that we have covered on that, Tom.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting way to kind of get around that. Also, it looks as though the widow's tax is going to be phased out over 3 years. And for those of our listeners who have been impacted by it, it basically says that if a military retiree elects to have the survivor benefit plan, that is actually taken out, for most part, dollar for dollar, from their pension. So it would do away with that. So some good things in there. A heck of a lot of money is involved in it, Tom. But on the other side of the break, we'll have Tom's tirade on the blood of traitors. So go ahead and enjoy a little bit of Christmas music with the Marine Corps Band. We'll have all that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Listeners to SBN may not be surprised that I've been a supporter of President Trump since his election and have been more than pleased with his decisions and achievements when it comes to our military and veterans. I believe that this extends to his recent orders to bring our troops home from endless wars in the Middle East, specifically Syria and other s**ts around this world. Oh, wait a minute. Did I offend someone for telling the truth? Oh, what the hell? I might as well not stop there. As President Trump starts to put his 2020 campaign into high gear with numerous sold-out rallies throughout the nation, it has become more and more apparent that his opponents in the Communist Democratic Party, the Never Trumpers, the Pierre Delecto shadow twits, and the complicit mainstream media have not recovered the fatal night in November 2016, which propelled Donald Trump into the White House as the Commander-in-Chief. Their never-ending search for the spy who loved him from Russia to the white robes hidden back in the closet of his Mar-a-Lago estate to the current attempt to make a quid pro quo out of a simple favor to get to the root of 2016 election collusion between the Dems and the Ukraine demonstrate the depths to which the Trump derangement syndrome is a real and ongoing state of the mental instability for those who would topple a duly elected president. In many ways, we have not seen the likes of this behavior since the heydays of the counterculture in the late 60s and early 70s, when anti-establishment became a buzzword of the tumultuous 1960s. Young people raised in comparative luxury saw many wrongs perpetrated by society and began to question the establishment. Contentious issues including the ongoing Vietnam War with no clear goal or end point, the constant military buildup, and diversion of funds for the Cold War, perpetual widespread poverty being ignored, festering race issues, a stultifying education system, repressive laws, and harsh sentences for casual drug use and a general malaise among the older generation. But on the other side, middle America saw the younger generation as spoiled, drugged out, sex-crazed, unambitious slackers. Wow. It's hard to believe that no one has duplicated that description for today's youth. Oh, wait, I just did. Anyhow, many of those today's left, including Antifa, the Squad, and the American-hating communists in the Democratic Party, undoubtedly yearned for the days of Woodstock and the Summer of Love. They longingly looked to the iconic people and places of those days to bring about the passion needed to topple Trump and restore the ruling class to their supposedly rightful place with their boot on the throat of the American people. Fortunately for them, one of the great traitors to America has stepped out of the ashes to lead their cause. That's right, Jane Fonda. She was arrested on Friday night after declaring she took time off from her Netflix series to spend months engaging in political activism. Fonda was among 16 people arrested on the Capitol steps Friday, according to a video which shows U.S. Capitol Police on Washington, D.C. appearing to take Fonda into custody with her hands zip-tied behind her back as a crowd of onlookers cheered. Hoorah! The actress was charged with, quote, crowding, obstructing, or incommoding. Reportedly, she was participating in a climate change protest. The arrest came after Fonda, a liberal Hollywood celebrity long known for activism and outspokenness, said she soon planned to leave Tinseltown and relocate to the nation's capital, at least temporarily. And according to the Los Angeles Times, the 81-year-old actress had a goal in mind, to get arrested, which she did. Of course, one might want to ask Fonda, who has actually been dead since 2002, how she thought her flight across America from the left coast to D.C. impacted her overall carbon footprint, and if she might consider moving into the streets of San Francisco to reduce her bloated signature in Hollywood. Of course, Fonda is no stranger to controversial activism, having guarding her nickname, Hanoi Jane, while giving aid and comfort to the North Vietnamese. Jane Fonda chose to be a traitor and went to Hanoi, wore the uniform of the enemy, propagandized for the communists, and urged American soldiers to desert. As our troops were being tortured and some of the POWs murdered, she called them liars. After her heroes, the North Vietnamese communists, took over South Vietnam, they systematically murdered 80,000 South Vietnamese political prisoners. May their souls rest on her head forever. History is a heavy sword in the hands of those who refuse to forget it. In 1975, after the fall of the South Vietnam government, Fonda returned to Hanoi with her newborn son, Troy, for a celebration in her honor for the work she had done for North Vietnam. During the celebration, her son was christened after a Viet Cong hero, Guyen Van Troy, who had attempted to assassinate Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara while on his visit to South Vietnam in 1963. There are those that believe that Jane Fonda was simply young and impressionable. Fact is, Jane Fonda was 34 years old when she made her infamous trip to North Vietnam and was in her 30s when she participated in anti-war demonstrations and rallies. During this same time period, a large number of young American soldiers who had not yet reached their 21st birthday were fighting the war in Vietnam and were held accountable for all of their actions. These same young soldiers were, upon their return to the United States, still not of legal age to vote or buy alcoholic beverages, and many were spat upon or worse by the peacenik hippies wandering the streets of Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. Fortunately for the cause of freedom and the future of our nation, those soldiers turned veterans are now the very guardians of the liberty for which they fought so valiantly. Though they may not be as lean as when they returned home, they are just as mean and are mad as hell at those as such as Fonda and Sanders and Warren and the AOC squad. Those who couldn't run a lemonade stand, but who seem to want to tell the rest of America how to live. In the face of the communist left, we stand as patriots in defense of this nation. Yes, a great nation. Thomas Jefferson once wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots." Unfortunately for Fonda and her ilk, it can also be refreshed with the blood of traitors. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton. Oh, did I tell you you can follow me on Twitter? It's at Topicus Catechus.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Forward up, sir!
Forward up, sir! So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack! Yeah.
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network Radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans on 106.5 FM and streaming live on scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Along with Tom Claxton, I'm Cal Walters, a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say.
Right.
The First Amendment right to say it and the fighting spirit to keep it. And, you know, Tom, great tirade. It just spells out exactly what we are up against with some of these libs that are out there. And speaking of libs, one of the great jokes, the Military Religious Freedom Foundation and its president, Mikey Weinstein, he is up in arms because there was a blow-up Santa Claus on an Army base. And apparently someone, of course, these are always anonymous people.
Yes.
But, yeah, they claim that there's an Army officer who served in Afghanistan, sent an email complaining about the display. And, it's the same sort of garbage that you get with the anonymous whistleblowers and this and that. I love the nation and I'm a Christian, but I'm just disgusted to see this kind of stuff on a military base. Tom, the funny thing is that the Santa Claus is shown wearing a military uniform that says Christmas Force and is next to a sign that says God Bless America.
Right.
I don't see exactly what's wrong with that.
I don't either.
I thought it was kind of funny. Mike Berry, who's a lawyer for the First Liberty Institute, says, quote, "It appears Mikey Weinstein thinks an inflatable Santa Claus is an actual military officer."
Well, they don't, they don't respect his rank, do they?
No, he's the commander in clause, apparently. The
commander in clause.
But he goes on to say, even if that were true, service members are permitted to say God bless America, just as the commander in chief does on a routine basis. But
right.
It just shows the lunacy that we are facing when it comes to stuff like this. And it's great to see, patriots like Panini Pete over at Ed's, where he has the missing man table with the Bible.
Right.
Displayed, but anyway, that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's. There you go. It's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network Radio Program, Voice of the Veterans for the Veterans. We thank you for joining us. Again, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those in harm's way. God be with them and their families. God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah!